for the person he's at. But the love of Jesus will always break through. You know, we're involved with Teen Challenge, with, you know, different things, and you do sometimes meet people outside of the Teen Challenge environment. Now, does that mean because I'm not on duty, you know, I don't want anything to do with it? No, no. Because the love of Jesus doesn't have a clock. It doesn't have a situation where you know, this person's acceptable and this person's not. Jesus says, I've loved them, you love them. And it's, John's not here today, John Stangham. But he's a good example of this. John knows people that we see in Teen Challenge from in town. He knows them, and they have a link with him, and they respect him, because he doesn't switch off. He doesn't switch them off. No matter where he sees them, where he meets them, they get a warmth from him. And this is what we need to do. You know, Tony comes here week by week and he tends to fall asleep. And we welcome Tony. We welcome Tony. We don't know what Jesus is doing in his heart and life. We see on the surface what the problems are, but within his heart and his life, he has the longings. You know, I mean, he shared something of his past. And, you know, it makes rough reading. But Jesus loves him. And one of the things that's turning us round as a church is, like I said the other week, we're starting to grasp hold of a willingness to reach and touch those that Jesus would reach and touch. It's not the posh people and everybody alright, you know. He loves them. But he says, I'm going to those that are sick. I'm going to those that are in special need. That's what I'm going to. That's what Jesus says. He says that those that are well don't need a physician. He says, I'm going to the lost. I'm going to those that I need to seek out. And whether it's the woman that's at the well in Samaria, or it's the chap that's been let down the roof on a stretcher, or whoever it is, Jesus says, they're the ones I'm reaching. And he's telling us to do the same. Reach those. Might be on a daily basis. It might be, you know, you don't have to be in the church building. You will come across somebody out in your daily walk, in your daily walk life. And in the natural, perhaps you might think, I wouldn't have anything to do with them. But something prompts you and just speak to them. Just stop and spend a while with them. You know, and that is making a difference. But going back to what I said about the family unit, Jesus wants to put in place back where it belongs, the family unit. It should exist very strongly in the church, and if anybody's going to feel a sense of family unit, it's going to be in church. People should feel they've got brothers and sisters and parents and children in the church. But we need to spread it out. We need to have a wider vision of what that is in our lives, and touching different lives, different people. And God will show you. God will show you who to touch, who to reach. You know, just ask him just to do that. You know, Father's Day and Mother's Day come once a year. I think Mother's Day happens twice if you happen to link into America. But I don't know about Father's Day. But it's every day. You know, Jesus has taken us on board. And what it says, we're going as his bride. He's making the church as his bride. You know, if that's not family unit orientated, I don't know what. Is. Jesus loves us and he puts everything in place for our benefit. And if he's put the family unit in place, that's what he wants. That's what he wants for us. Hallelujah. So just think on that. Just work on that. Work on the family. You know, you might not have children, but there are children. Children to love. You might have had children that have grown up. There's still children to love. You might have not had a good parent or parents. There's parents to adopt, or let parents adopt you within the church. And they will do. As we touch Jesus, they will do. Amen. Praise God. On the computer age is coming.
Happy Father's Day. Dad is a person who is loving and kind and orphaned. He knows what you have on our mind, on your mind. He's someone who listens, suggests and defends. A dad can be one of your very best friends. He's proud of
your triumphs,
but when things go wrong, a dad can be patient and helpful and strong in all that you do. A dad's love plays a part. There's always a place for him deep in your heart. And each year that passes, you're even more glad, more grateful and proud just to call him your dad. Thank you, Dad, for listening and caring, for giving and sharing, but especially for just being you. Happy Father's Day.
A father is there in every memory. See him love and care, strength and hands to count on. Freely he does share, provide a toy or so faithful. To make your dreams come true, give strong and tender discipline. Though it is hard to do, a father is God's chosen one to lead the family and point it to his will for life of love and harmony.
What makes a dad?
God took the strength of a mountain, a majesty of a tree, a warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, a comforting arm of night, a wisdom of the ages, the power of eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. Then God combined these qualities when there was no more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad.
We're not doing that one, right?
I am. Fathers are wonderful people. Too little understand, and we do not sing their praises as often as we should. For somehow fathers seem to be the man who pays the bills, while mother binds up little hurts and nurses all your ills. A father struggles daily to live up to his image as protector and provider and hero of the scrimmage. And perhaps that is the reason we sometimes get the notion that fathers are not subject to the thing we can emotion. But if you look inside Dad's heart, where no one else can see, you'll find he's sentimental and as soft as he can be. But he's so busy every day in the grueling race of life, he leaves the sentimental stuff to his partner and his wife. But fathers are just wonderful in a million different ways, and they merit loving compliments and accolade of praise. For the only reason Dad aspires to fortune and success is to make the family proud of him and to bring them happiness. And like our Heavenly Father, he's a guardian and a guide, someone that we can count on to be always on our side.
And God is saying to us, he was telling us to come on higher, to get up on, get on that ladder and get moving. And you know, that's what each of us individually need to be doing now. Don't come to church waiting for to be fed. Get in that word this week. Use it or lose it. And God is challenging us, everyone. It's time for us to seek the gifts of the Spirit. It's time to say, you know, we're not always looking to Andrew. God says we're to desire the best gifts. Let's start desiring the gifts of the Spirit. Let's start saying, God, I want to do that. I want to impart to this body. I want a word to share. Ken didn't have a word last Sunday. You know, Dharma was going to speak, but Dharma wasn't able to speak. Andrew wasn't able to speak. Why? Because Ken had the word that was appropriate for last Sunday. Because there were four people at least in here who needed to hear the gospel. And the gospel is what they got. And there was a response to that word. Now, in the same way, every week, I want all of us, I challenge us to seek God through the week and say, God, what do you want me to do on Sunday? How can I come and impart a blessing into this fellowship that they may be built up, that I may be built up, and that we might start climbing that ladder and stepping out into unknown territory? Because that way we're going to be stronger as a body, we're going to grow as a body. And Andrew's, the same thing's happening with him. He's laid out, but God is challenging him. He's got to move up higher. So this has a purpose for all of us, and it became very apparent on Wednesday night what God was doing. So I pass that on to you today, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be blessed. This is just an opportunity for God to move us on, to take us higher. I'm rising to it, and I want you to come with me, that with this body might be strong and really strong in God and in the gifts and the anointing and the flow of the Holy Spirit. But it depends on each of us individually, that corporately we may go forward. So don't come to sit back. Come and say, God, I want to come with something to share. Amen. Praise God. Let's do it. We will. But you know, your roots have got to go down before they can go up. Those roots have to be strong in the ground. A tree is strong with roots in the ground, and it goes higher and higher. Some of those redwoods in America, phenomenal in height and width. But you know, it's the strength is in the root. And what does it say in Psalm 1? That those who are strong in the Lord, their roots go down by the stream. And it makes them, what's underneath is what takes the strength for them to grow strong in God. So I encourage you, get rooted in God this week, and let's see some fruit in keeping with that next Sunday. Amen. Let's not leave it to the one who's going to lead and the one who's going to speak. All come prepared to give to God. And let's go out of this place, as we have been in past weeks, blessed and more blessed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thanks, everybody.